You know, in you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 16:19. It says, "The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord."
Amen.
And so does the church that meets at their house.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but this is how the church met in the first generation.
Yep, come on.
They didn't have buildings to go to. This is how they met. Now, hopefully their buildings were big, but I don't think they were. Okay? Mm-hmm. But it's always great to go back and do stuff like this just to know how that atmosphere was.
Yeah.
Now, how often did they meet together? Who knows?
Daily.
They met every day.
All right, we like it.
Now, we're going to do this every day this week. No, I'm just kidding. But think about it. They did not have cars. They did not have the internet. They did not have phones.
Wow.
They had to walk or jump a ride on a mule or something to get together to meet. But I think the thing is, we ought to be just excited about this little group. And actually, this is only half the group. The other half is in the north. We had to split it up because it was too big.
Yeah. Come on.
That's a good problem to have, right?
We like it.
Now, we got 4 weeks. We're going to do this again. Maybe we'll have to split it again. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I know no one's going on vacation this summer, right? So we will all be here, right, in the 4 weeks. So amen to that. You know, amazing things have happened in the last year. We talked about this yesterday. And amazing things are going to happen. We got the Jubilee coming up.
This is
going to be flat awesome. If you do what you got to do to get there in L.A., we're going to be meeting somewhere there by Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
There's the beach, okay?
Beach.
There's Disneyland or Disney World, one of those guys. We've got the place where all the... what's that? Yeah, okay. You know when you got kids, you start talking like that. Okay, there's a lot of things going on there, but there's the actual Jubilee. And the thing that it does is it gives you an incredible perspective on what's going around the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to a guy that I've been studying a lot with, and he basically said, you know, the thing I don't like about my church is there's no world vision. It stops here. And really, we take that for granted.
Wow.
We take for granted the fact that there's stuff going on in Russia. There's stuff going on in Australia, Florida, all over the place.
Yep.
And those are our brothers and sisters. And you can go there and you have the same spirit. That is very, very unique.
Yeah.
Awesome things are happening and have happened. The church a year ago was how many members?
Well, a year ago right now was 51.
51. And we've been having like 170-some in attendance.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think 90-some actual members, 94, something like that.
Yeah.
A year ago, we had two people on staff, Chris and Teresa.
Yeah.
Now we got 5.5.
Oh.
5.5 people on staff. Now we got people coming from Madison, Wisconsin. We got people coming from Michigan, Detroit. We got people coming in from Iowa. We even had people here last week from Cleveland. People are hearing what we're about.
Come on,
that's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
We've got Barb's mom moving here.
Come on.
Yeah. Exciting things are happening.
Man.
People are changing. People are growing. People are having babies. You know? Awesome things are happening. Right? Awesome things are happening. But you may not feel like that. You may not feel part of that.
Oh, okay.
You may be feeling that life's a struggle. I've talked to a few people who
really
had a hard time. Anybody here feel like life can be tough?
Yeah.
Anybody here feel like life is tough and I am struggling? You know? Maybe it's your finances. Anybody have problems finances? Finances. It's the economy. Maybe it's your health. You got a bad back. Something. Your health. There's war. You guys remember there's still war going on?
Wow, come on, bro.
You know, people are starting to forget about that
stuff. Bring it back. Yeah.
Maybe there's crime. I don't know if you've heard in the news. I mean, how many kids were shot last week? You know, there's like 15 kids that were shot in one encounter, something crazy like that. Was that 15?
Something like
that. Anyway, there's crime. Maybe somebody has broken into your car. Maybe that'll bring you down. Am I right?
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You've got... Kid problems. Kids. Not that they would be a problem, but you struggle, man. What are they doing now to me? Give me a break. Maybe your marriage can be a struggle. Maybe it's bliss. Maybe not. Maybe there's a death in the family. You know, Barb's father passed away recently. Creates a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe the in-laws. Family members. A lot of struggling going on. You know, this week, Joe showed me this in the paper where the CTA had that derailment.
Yeah.
And it says right on the note, praying for God. Wow. Imagine that. You gotta like that. Praying for God on the front cover.
Wow. Amen.
They say there's no atheists in a foxhole. You know? And see, struggle causes us to do something. Hopefully, turning to God.
That's right.
And that's life. You can't avoid it. As much as we try to avoid it, that's what's going to happen to me. You know, I remember a brother telling me once, he said, I just wish that not everything in life is an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you feel that way. Am I depressing you?
Yeah, totally.
Totally depressed.
So how do you keep yourself from being depressed?
Take communion again.
Take it again. How are you supposed to inspire the world when you got all this on your shoulder?
Come on, bro, help us.
Life is a struggle. Where's the break? Are you looking for the break?
Vacation.
Vacation's coming, right?
4 days.
Kids are like,
yeah,
so excited about school getting over. I mean, they're bouncing off walls. Okay, we all want the break. That's our life. We don't like the struggle. We don't like the pressure. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32 and get an insight into what God has to say about struggle. Give us a release. Genesis chapter 32. That's the first book of the Bible.
Amen. Thanks.
Try to help you guys out there.
Amen.
You know, years ago, I came into an epiphany.
Really?
A realization.
Really?
Come on.
Life is a struggle.
Found some signs.
And the insight is that the struggle is meant to be.
Mm. Wow. Come on, man.
And it will always be until you die.
Mm.
Amen.
Until you deal also with sin, with fear, until we change our focus, fill in the blank. But we'll always have that pressure. Let's look at an example, Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 22. So that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons. Oh man, there's pressure right there. And crossed the board of the Jordan. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared."
Mm.
Now, you may have read this passage many times and say, "What was that all about? What's the deal with that? Why on earth is Jacob wrestling with God?" You know, he's all alone, and all of a sudden, boom, he's getting this wrestling match, and what does that have to do with anything?
Come on.
Well, we are here to define this.
Come on, man.
Okay, first of all, the name Jacob means deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's who he was. He was a liar, mm-hmm. and he lied a lot. All right, study it out, you'll see all that stuff. Then, God gives him a different name, Israel, which means he struggles with God. And really, when you look at what's going on here, and you realize that Jacob was a man who struggled with God, it also says that he struggled with God and men and overcame.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine that he beat God in a wrestling match. Okay? Now, here's Seth. Maybe you think you can. Okay? Seth was a wrestler, and he thinks, you know, he's pretty good. And I don't think this was the World Wrestling Federation kind of wrestling. Okay? I don't think it was like that. All right, but let's get a little more into this here. All right? It wasn't that he beat God. It was that his life was changed. He overcame. And I believe he overcame his character flaws and became a man that was changed. And I think the thing is, we need to understand that our struggles with life are not with life, but not just with men, but they're with God. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at the struggle before us with God. And we can point the finger at man and not that this is meant to be. Okay? Okay, you with me?
All right.
I wasn't sure here. All right, before this time, all right, and since this time, the whole Israelite nation has struggled with God. You think about the whole Old Testament. It was a battle. You know, God's trying to rescue them, and what do they do? Fall into sin, mess up, God has to send the nation in to conquer them, they cry out to God, then they get selfish and prideful, and God has to crush them again, and they do the same thing how many times over? And then finally, Jesus comes on the scene. But it doesn't stop there. It continues until we go to heaven. It is the history. And here's the thing that we got to understand. Our purpose is to struggle with God. It is. And the purpose is that we can change. That's one of the purposes. Let me put it that way.
Come on.
And you got to look at it this way. Have you ever felt this way? I am angry at God. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Am I alone here?
Yeah. No.
You're angry at God. Why did you allow that thing to happen? Why did you have this person die? Why did you have this illness in my life? Why has this happened to me at work? And we can get very angry at God. Why did this whole thing happen with the church? Why did that happen?
Come on.
And we can get ticked off at God. You know, you got to look at the situation. All right? God is all-powerful. Am I right?
Yeah.
God is without sin. Right? God is sacrificial. He had his son die on the cross. He is all loving. So is the problem with God or with us? And see, the challenge is there's things in our lives that we don't want to give up. And you cannot walk with a perfect being and not give it up. Otherwise, you've got a battle on your hands. All right? Now, think about it. Marriage. Hey, when you put two singles together, all right, it's bliss, right? It's like, you know, it's amazing how many people, I want to get married. Then you throw them into the pot and it's like, man.
Yeah.
Drives you to your knees, man.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage is to show you how selfish you are.
Oh, yeah.
Because like your spouse will definitely point it out. And that's why I should say struggle with woman. And God. Okay? Oh. This is my interpretation. No!
What did you say? Come on.
I like that. You know, for the last 4 months, Barb and I and our family have gone through a lot of stress.
Come on, bro.
You know, Barb lost her income, and then shortly after that, she had the surgery she had to go through that said, you're done for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Major surgery, and all of a sudden she can't drive, so I got to do the driving. I'm trying to take down the load, trying to help with the kids. Then her father gets ill, and he was ill throughout this whole thing, and then he passes away. And then we've got to be able to take a hold of this thing, and she has three sisters and her mom, and we have to do the funeral. I mean, it was emotional taxing on us. It was, I don't know that I've ever been more emotionally drained in all my life. And yet, you ask, why? Why all at once? Let's face this thing out a little bit. You know, and I, we can handle this. The Bible says God won't let you be handled beyond what you can bear. Well, why do you got to test the limits, man? Make this thing a little easier. Please.
Yeah.
And yet, God allows it. You know, it's the same in marriage. There's pressures. When you have kids, there's pressures. And either you learn to deal with it, or it gets worse.
Yeah.
When you have sin in your life and you don't deal with it, is it going to go away?
No.
No. And God will continue to bring it up until you deal with it.
That's right.
Or you will still struggle with it.
Yeah.
And see, that's the challenge. You can't walk with Jesus and continue to stay the same way you are.
Right.
And yet somewhere in our mind, our incredible mind, we think we can. And it's an impossibility.
That's right.
God says, I won't accept sin. Deal with it. And then we struggle with God.
Amen.
Okay, I don't even know where I am here.
Good stuff. Good stuff, bro.
Jacob says to God, you know, God says, let me go. And Jacob says, no, I won't let you go. What's with that? And I think really what's going on here is Jacob knew that I need to cling to God.
Come on, dude.
And that's got to be our heart.
Yep.
You know, it's a fearful thing. You know, there's a lot of people we study the Bible with that you get close to their conversion and boy,
yeah,
they don't want it.
Yeah.
Why? Because all of a sudden they realize, hey, this is the real deal.
Yeah, that's right.
This is not a game.
That's right.
This is not a nice social group. Let's go play cards and have a beer. It's not that way.
That's right.
And it is the real deal.
That's
and
right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Jesus Lord.
You
that's
felt
right.
That lordship thing.
Yep.
Luke 14:33, what does Jesus say? You must give up what?
Everything.
Everything. No. I want this. I want that.
Yep.
And the struggle is there. Are you going to give that up or walk with me? Or not walk with me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah.
We got you.
Okay. And so there's that struggle right from the start.
Yep. Yeah. That's right.
But you look at the people who make the step, and they jump out onto the thin ice, trusting God, with faith. What's their spirit like? Joy, freedom, excited, telling everybody. Why?
Yeah.
Because they clung onto God, and they held on. Because
yeah.
The world has nothing to offer, and it will continue to deceive. And see, really, we've got to understand and get this in our heads. The struggle is meant to be. The more we overcome, the more joyful we become.
Yeah.
And Jesus, and that's why Jacob says, bless me. What is being blessed? It's joy.
Yeah.
And really, that's what we gain, is a joy. But our fear and trust in self stops us from grabbing a hold of God. And the closer you become to Jesus, the more violent it becomes. It becomes violent. Hey, what happened to Jesus? Hey, Joe just read about it. What happened to him? He was beat, spit in the face, flogged, and crucified. Now, come follow me. Okay? And so it becomes more and more violent. Why? Because you stand for something that people will not like. And you won't make it unless you cling to Jesus.
That's right.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find out. Because if you're not clinging to Jesus, you're clinging to something else.
Right.
And that something else is fragile and will fail you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to go far to see how many divorces are, abortions, how many people lose their jobs overnight, death, people getting wiped out because their foundation was shook. Pretty challenging, huh?
Yeah.
But there's hope. The challenge is to hold on, to cling on, You know, it's funny because I liken this to dating. All right? If you're going to start dating someone, the relationship can go so far, right? But there's this desire to go a little further, all right? And there's a decision to make. Do I want to open that door?
Yeah.
Okay? You know, the woman's saying, where are we headed in this relationship? Okay? Now, the guy's got a decision to make here. Well, if I say, let's just be friends, it could get ugly. I don't want to lose the relationship. But I don't want to go through that door because I don't know what's behind that door. Door number three. And that's where a lot of relationships end.
Yeah.
It's the same way with Jesus. Jesus said, listen, not only do you got to walk through the door, you got to fly through the door, and you got to hang on to me and enjoy the ride.
Come on.
Because if you're clinging to Jesus, you got a lot more power available to you than you can ever imagine.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, where are we at here?
In the Bible.
Here's another pressure you got. Boy, am I encouraging you with pressure. Okay. Here's another pressure you got. You walk with Jesus, and you begin to know and understand what God knows and understands.
Mm.
All of a sudden, you have been given a trust. Because that's what relationships are all about. And all of a sudden, you begin to understand what the purpose is all about. And you begin to understand that you have a responsibility now. And all of a sudden, you realize that you've got to do something, and you can't just stay where you're at. God will not allow it, or you will struggle. Does this make sense?
Yep.
So you got to go through that door. And you got to say, I'm going to cling on to Jesus. Okay, and then you got this hip thing. What's with that? What's with the hip thing? You know? He won't let him overcome, or he won't let go, right? And then it says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Okay? What is that all about? Well, life creates scars. Outwardly and inwardly.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And if you're a guy, scars can be pretty cool. Yeah, I got that one. I wiped out on my motorcycle. Look at that, baby. Huh? Huh? And the guys get together and they go, oh, yeah, I got shot here. I had a guy say that to the other day. I got shot right here, you know. Oh, yeah, this scar right here, yeah, I got hit with it, you know. And they honor these scars. And God says, listen, life's a battle, and you're going to have scars.
Yeah.
Okay? But scars heal. And I believe the other thing is that God wants you to know that this just wasn't a nice idea. Now, what do I mean by that? When Jacob left, he walked funny. Okay? It says in verse 31, the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip.
Wow.
This word to this day, so on and so forth. He was limping. All right?
Wow.
And God wanted him to know that this wasn't a dream. This wasn't just something that you conjured up. When he told people, I wrestled with God, this is the scar. This is what happened. All right? It was a real deal. And see, anytime you engage with God, your life is going to change. And there are issues that you got to repent of, but people will see the change in your life.
Yep.
That make sense?
Come on, Jay.
There's a book for men, okay? It's called The Wounded Warrior. No, that's not what it's called. Yeah, I think it's The Wounded Warrior. The Masculine Journey, that's what it's called.
No.
And there's different stages to a man's walk in life. And, you know, it talks about every stage, but then it gets to the warrior stage. The warrior stage is where the guy's like, freedom, man! And they're going to take on the world, you know? Eyes bright, nothing can stop me, I am, I can't be hurt, kind of mentality. Then, they go through the battle, and they get hurt.
Yep.
Alright? Then that's the next stage. That's called the wounded warrior.
Mm.
Alright? And in the book, what it says is that you cannot move on to the next stage until you go through these things. And the final stage is the seer, the wise person, who's been through it all and knows what it takes. And see, we don't want to go through the pain. We want to be the seer without the rest of the other stuff. We don't want to have to limp. You know, we don't want to have these scars on our body. Sorry, pal, but that's designed to happen. The struggle with God is supposed to happen. Let me show you another example of this. Matthew chapter 26.
Come on, man.
Nobody sleeping in here?
No.
All right. Amen to that. I'll show you another man who struggled with God.
Come on, bro.
Verse 36. And you've heard about this man. His name is Jesus. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament.
Awesome.
I'll help you out. So then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." All right, you see a struggle going on here with Jesus. All right? And you would think Jesus wouldn't have to do that. But he makes the point, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Yep.
It's true for Jesus. He put himself, allowed himself to be in a physical body, and it was weak. And the older you get, you know what?
You know it.
You know it. The weaker it gets. And I think God does that to drive us to our knees also.
Come on.
But you look at the struggle. The first thing he says is, "If it is possible." Then he says, "If it is not possible." And he's starting to work through it. And finally he comes up with the bottom line. "May your will be done." That is called surrender.
Come on.
And that is what our wrestling match needs to be with God.
Amen.
Is surrender. I cannot beat God.
Yeah.
I need to hand it over to Him and say, "Jesus is Lord."
Amen.
That's a very hard thing to do.
Yes, it is.
I'll give up this. I'll give up that. I'll give up this. But then, not this, not that. Hey guys, girls, get married. What if you say, "Hey, honey, love you, but that's mine. You don't touch it. My stereo."
Uh-oh.
"Hey, did you touch my stereo? The thing's moved." "What was with that?" "No, the cat didn't do it." "My car's moved. What's going on?"
Cat did it.
And we create walls.
Wow.
We create barriers. And God says, "Unacceptable.
Yeah.
I gave my best. I gave my all. Now you need to do the same." Now, this is stuff we tell people when we're studying the Bible, right?
Right.
What about us on a continual basis?
Right. Come on,
it doesn't stop in the beginning. It's a lifestyle of surrender. It's a lifestyle of wrestling with God. But the great thing is, when you surrender, you receive the benefits of surrender.
Mm, yeah.
And that's joy. You know, you look at Jesus, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." He had to work through that. Then he's like, "Okay, I'm surrendered. Let's go. Let's do this thing." Because he saw there was a greater impact that it was going to have. That's got to be the same for us. We got to realize when we surrender, God can finally work. We are now a tool that he can use to change the world around us. Now, you may say, "But I have to suffer a lot. I have to struggle a lot. Why is the struggle so hard?" Well, the greater the struggle, the greater the change, and the greater the growth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not that way. sometimes it's because we refuse to give it up. And the struggle is because we won't surrender. We think we can win, right, Seth?
Yeah.
We think we can beat them, and you can't. Radical changes require God.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You're not going to change radically without the intervention of wrestling with God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now you think about every leader in the Bible. Did they wrestle with God?
Oh, yeah.
Did Moses say, yeah, sign me up. This will be awesome. God got ticked off at him. It says God was angry at Moses because Moses didn't want to do it. Peter. Did Peter wrestle with God?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Paul wrestled. Elijah wrestled. He ran. Jonah ran.
Yep, come on.
David wrestled with God. If they have to do it, what makes us think that we don't have to do it?
Wow.
We want stability, but life is not stable. We want predictability, but life is not predictable.
Right.
So if you're counting on these things, your life will be a mess. Look at Matthew 11. We're going to close there.
Amen, bro. Awesome.
Matthew 11. And I did this in a Bible talk a few weeks ago. Matthew 11, verse 28. Just touch on it for just a little bit here.
Amen.
Now, Jesus speaking. Matthew 11, verse 28.
Come on, bro.
Come to me. Maybe you've read this before. I'm struggling, God. I need to read something comforting. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, either this is true or it's a lie. Why is my life so... Well, you know, when we yoke ourselves with God, all right, we're either going to be tugging and struggling and fighting to go the same direction, or we're going to let Him pull. And He's a lot stronger than us. It's a challenge to trust God. It is a challenge. It's a challenge to say, all right, I'm going to walk with you and go in the same direction. And yet we fight Him and we say, I want this, I want that, I want this. And we get angry at God. And God says, am I not enough?
Mm.
Am I not enough? Why do you need more?
Mm.
And I'm sure it hurts God.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we've been talking about us struggling, but how much does God struggle with what we do to Him?
Yeah.
Think of the scars He has. Mm. Okay? We talked a little bit about the cross, but think about the scars that God has. And we whine, and we complain, and we say, yes, it's not enough.
Mm.
It's sad. So the question is, what in your life are you not willing to surrender? What is it that you're not going to totally throw into the pot and say, God, you own it? And nobody likes that word surrender. Visions of World War II, surrender. You know, all these countries that gave up and Germany just rolled over them. And we look at it as weakness to surrender. And that's just our pride. That's our pride. And see, that's the thing that we need to attack.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
It's awesome, bro.
You know, God had to break the Israelite nation, and He is willing to do the same to us.
Yeah.
The challenge for us is to do it before He does.
Yeah.
You know, there's great examples in the Bible with people who did surrender. You look at Zacchaeus. What was his heart after he surrendered? Man, he was ready to, here now, I give it all up 4 times.
Yep.
By cheating anybody.
That's right.
And what was Jesus' response? This day, salvation has come to this man's house.
Yeah.
Because that's the acid test. Are you willing to surrender? The prodigal son, what did it take for him? You know? He finally had to get humbled and he had to say, okay.
Yeah.
I'm being stupid.
Yep.
I can't fight this. I need help.
Yeah.
Ooh, you don't like saying that. I need help. Being desperate. You know, Paul, when he surrendered. Peter, Esther, David, all these great examples. You know, read Psalm 51. When David was broken, he wrote that. And he says, let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Mm.
The result is joy.
Amen.
Now here's the challenge. We are all in a struggle. Anybody in here not struggling with something? Anything? Alright, I'm going to close with a challenge. I like doing that.
Bring it, bro.
Yep.
You need to talk to the person that's going to inspire you to change. And you need to say, this is my struggle. Let's work on it until I overcome it.